My name is Cody Carlson, and I'm here at the Barrio Logan College Institute with Daniel Mendoza, and I'm here just to ask him a few questions.
It is Mendoza, right?
Yes, Daniel Mendoza.
Excellent. So, Daniel, tell me your favorite foods.
My top favorite food has got to be pizza.
Nice.
Tacos are probably up there. Yeah, a bunch of crappy food that's not very healthy.
does your family cook a lot at home?
Yeah, my dad works as a chef, so he's a pretty good cook, and he's always cooking breakfast.
Well, where's he a chef at?
He works in the Gaslamp Quarter in downtown San Diego. It's a Japanese restaurant. So the thing he cooks for us, like, that's his specialty usually, are shrimp tacos.
Oh, nice. Like, has he taught you to cook at all?
No, I'm not me. But
oh,
it's
why
not?
Not
like my mom. I mean, I'm kind of busy, yeah.
Yeah.
Not really my interest either, yeah.
Where did he get his passion for cooking?
Well, I think my mom taught him a little bit, you know, as they got married.
Uh-huh.
But I know a lot. I know he began at this place where he's a chef now. He began as a dishwasher.
Oh, cool.
And then he kind of got moved up and moved his way up. And so, you know, he's a quick learner.
Oh, all right. What does your mom do?
My mom, she does accounting for like a chain of restaurants and local restaurants here in San Diego, Mexican restaurants.
Okay, so like more or less like both in the food industry, like somewhere
yeah.
around there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
me too.
You too?
Yeah, another job besides this one.
Oh,
I'm a
okay.
busser in Old Town, a Mexican restaurant in Old Town. It's called.
Oh, nice. Which restaurant?
Casa Guadalajara.
Okay. So you can hook it up if I stop in there?
Yeah, I could get you seated real quick because they have long wait times.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Whatever gets me to food quicker, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to?
A lot of things, probably. Main is hip-hop, like rap, and then R&B, and some stuff in Spanish, like reggaeton.
Okay, all right. What's your, like, favorite artist? Maybe specifically for the reggaeton.
For reggaeton, Bad Bunny. He just had a pretty good album recently that he just released. That was pretty good.
Nice. Wasn't he at, like, Coachella, maybe?
I think he was.
Maybe.
He's one of the big ones, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, pretty well known.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. What got you into that music?
Just family. I mean, coming from a like Hispanic background, always listening to music in Spanish. Like my aunts, my mom, my cousins. So it's kind of how I got into it.
Sure. Do you play any instruments or like any musicians in your family or?
Yeah. So. Well, also I would say one of my interests was also I studied abroad in Brazil.
Oh, cool.
A year ago.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of like I feel like embraced more of like my Latin culture, even though I guess they're a little different, but that was really fun.
Nice. Tell me about your study abroad program. Like,
mm-hmm.
What did you do there? How long were you there for?
So this was a summer program. We were there for 3 weeks. We went to Brazil. We were first in Salvador, which is a city in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And then we flew to Rio. And the purpose of the program was called Sustainability, Inequality, Activism, something like that. And it focused on like poverty and inequality.
Okay.
And Brazil is very unique just because, you know, there's just a huge inequality. There's like very rich communities and, you know, you walk two blocks and there's like a favela right there, and it's kind of dangerous, and that's what the program focused on. And we went to a bunch of nonprofits, we visited schools, we went into favelas and just different organizations that work that in their own way are kind of activists, and they work to end poverty.
Oh, very cool. So what did you do specifically while you were there?
So we kind of used Brazil as a case study. We were reading a lot of books. We would like visit, for example, like we visit an elementary school and we'd kind of tour around, and then we had the chance to ask questions to the principal and the teachers, and kind of through that we kind of learned like their thoughts on maybe the Brazilian government, like what they could do more, or like their own personal struggles with poverty, or the students' struggles with poverty. So we kind of just use Brazil in general as like a case study to learn about inequality and poverty and how what we could do.
Sure. So what have you done moving forward beyond that? So have you gone back and like, are you a part of that program at all still?
I'm kind of, I know the teacher that, the faculty that led the program. But no, I mean, we did kind of build some connections. I know another guy, I have his contact information that we met over there. He's kind of an activist over there.
Oh, cool. How long were you there for?
I was there about three weeks.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, about a year ago.
What would you say your favorite part was?
Favorite part? Maybe. Well, we visited this one favela. So this favela was unique because it was one of the few favelas that resisted like being moved. So there was a lot of these communities were moved during the World Cup, and this one specifically was during the Olympics. So the Brazilian government wanted to move this community, just push the people out to different locations just so that they could build their stadium or whatever. And this community was unique because like the whole community and a bunch of activists gathered together, and they brought national media attention into it. Mm-hmm. And there was like a big riot kind of like where the police was like trying to forcefully remove, and they all stood their ground. And it got a little bloody, but that was really inspiring, seeing how the people came together, defended the community, and in the end they won. I mean, the stadium's like right next to it, but they didn't displace the people that were there.
Yeah, I remember hearing about like, the whole gentrification of that area and all around it, especially just to try to make Brazil almost try to like cloak Brazil in like a different fashion than maybe what it is.
Yeah.
And try to hide the struggle of what's going on.
Yeah, because so we went really recently since the Olympics, and a lot of like the people that we spoke to felt that, you know, the money could have been used elsewhere. I mean, there's just so much poverty and crime and drug cartels in Brazil, and the government decided to spend it on building stadiums and just putting this like front that Brazil was okay when a lot of people felt like it wasn't.
Sure. Do you see maybe like a similar instance of what happened there to maybe what has occurred in maybe Barra-Logan type area?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in Brazil, the history, it relates to a lot to just Latin America in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, Latin America, since their founding, they've been plagued with drug cartels and corruption and such. And I think it's that systemic, like, oppression that has led a lot of people to immigrate out of Latin American countries into the U.S. particularly, just because it's a wealthier country with more opportunity. And that same like systemic oppression that began in those countries has, you know, caused immigration to here. And of course they come from with less income, and that kind of ends up affecting a lot of their opportunities even here.
Yeah, it's almost like the exact same thing. It's just like repeating what they just just happened there. Now here, maybe if someone immigrated to America, maybe the same thing like it occurs.
Yeah, of course.
So what's so yeah, I mean, clearly that parallels like a lot of stuff that's happened around this area, like with Brazil. Mm-hmm. What's have you personally been able to do anything about it? I mean, I know the program you had there. Have you been able to like enact on it like here?
Yeah, so I know the mission statement of BLCI is to end the poverty of cycle through getting students in low-income first-generation communities into college. So here at this program, we see BLCI as a way of getting the students into like a where they can be like global citizens and contribute to our economy and such. So here in BLCI, what we focus on is getting the students who may have, you know, maybe struggling with grades, or they may be affected in other ways in their community, whether it's like bad influences and such. And here we kind of guide the students and make sure they're focused on college, and make sure to get the parents involved as well. So ultimate goal is to break the cycle of poverty and crime and get them into college.
Sure. Would you ever like maybe go back to Brazil to see if you can kind of implement the program here you have at BLCI, maybe down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would like to go back. I mean, it's super interesting, and the Brazilian people are, they're just like very happy people in general. They're very positive outlook in general, even though there's a lot of like struggles over there. Like I know recently they elected this very right-wing president, and also their last two presidents have actually been incarcerated.
Oh, wow.
So it just shows like how deep the corruption in Brazil goes. So I feel like that's why a lot of the Brazilian people kind of led to extremism, and they ended up electing a right wing. He's very, very interesting guy.
I don't know much about Brazil other than they speak Portuguese there.
Yeah.
But,
play soccer.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, I almost feel bad that I don't know more, but yeah, just what else do you know about, you know, this new president that's like extreme? Like, what could he do for the country? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but if you look him up, I mean, all the like news articles say he's the Brazilian Trump. Like, he's compared to Trump just because he's so like very vocal, extreme. Yeah. He's very right wing, and you know, he's against immigration, very much like Trump. This guy, in my opinion, he said probably worse things than Trump. Like, there's videos of him. There's videos of him saying like just overt like sexism. Like, I remember seeing a video of him, this politician, female politician, Brazil, and he was just kind of like he was just straight up. He just said, you know, your opinion doesn't matter because you're a woman or something like that. It's crazy that he got elected, but I mean, I guess that's how the situation was, that where the Brazilian people were like, there's just so much corruption, and they felt like this guy wasn't, even though he might not be the best guy, but he got elected.
It almost felt like his like extremism felt so truthful that maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they just wanted to change from like the status quo, and he brought that change, even though he may not be the best guy.
Yeah. It's interesting. There just seems like there's a lot of parallels between both Brazil and the U.S. in this case and many other cases.
Yeah, I mean, in the world, there's like a global trend towards the extremes. Some countries have gone very left. For example, Mexico recently elected AMLO. That's the acronym, and he is very left wing. He's like compared to like a Bernie Sanders. He's a populist, and so just like a global trend, each country is going either very right-wing, like we did in the U.S. and Brazil, and other countries, and like even in the U.K. And some countries are going very left, like Canada and Mexico and other countries.
Yeah, definitely. I obviously know more about the Canada, Mexico, what's occurring there. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you know of specifically that would parallel or like be similar to the U.S.? Or they'd just be like complete like opposites.
Yeah, the politics, I mean, I think they have different histories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the U.S. in general is just a wealthier country. Maybe they struggled more with racism and systemic like oppression, whereas Latin American countries have struggled more with like inequality and income, and you know, the rich, there's just a lot of elites that kind of run the country. And there's really no way out. I mean, I think it's a big difference. Here in the U.S., there's generally, even though maybe hard, like there's movement between classes, like it's possible to be born low income and still go to college and maybe have a higher income.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Mexico and other Latin American countries, I don't think it's really a possibility. It's education costs money, and not everyone can go ahead and education. And that's why a lot of people succumb to like drug cartels and stuff, because it's easy cash. I mean, that's what they need to do to take care of their families.
So what's when did your family come to the U.S.?
Parents probably came probably when my sister was born, right before, so like 25 years ago.
Okay, so you guys have definitely been here for a decent
amount
of time.
Yeah.
What's a do you know like what exactly like your parents like came here for?
Opportunity. I know that, you know, the American dream, I guess. I know it was for us, for the children. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there's not as many opportunities, and, you know, they wanted their students, their kids, to have the opportunities that they never had, which is going to college and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that might say, like, the quote-unquote American dream is, like, not real or not alive, mm-hmm. but I mean, what you're saying is that, or that I'm getting is that, you know, in Mexico, if you start off not as wealthy, then that you're more likely to stay that way. But at least in the U.S., like, you still have a chance to work your way up.
Yeah, I think that's what, I mean, most Latin American countries see. They don't see opportunity in their own country, and they decide it's better to immigrate. And that's why you saw, like, the migrant caravan and stuff. I mean, I don't think it's contrary to what a lot of people say. I don't think they're criminals. I think they're just low-income, poor people who just want...
Yeah, I mean, chance is better than no chance.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not easy either. I mean, it's a difficult journey. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you have no money, you know, safety issues, there's kidnapping, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I can...
But they take the chance.
Yeah, like I was saying, some chance is better than no chance. Mm-hmm. Survival, better your life at one point or another. I mean, that's... what seems like what your parents did exactly. It's
yeah, yeah.
Similar mm-hmm. idea.
And they were maybe a little lucky. I mean, they got, I don't know, maybe, I mean, they're a little lucky because my mom kind of came legally, mm-hmm. and she's a U.S. resident, whereas a lot of other, like, immigrants come undocumented, which just limits their opportunities here.
Sure. Do you still have family in Mexico?
Yeah. Grandma, grandpa.
How often are you able to see them?
Maybe, do you want to switch places? They're about to start.
Yeah, we can just finish it up real quick.
Okay.
So often are you able to see them?
Maybe, you know, every, like, 3 weeks.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. What's, what do they do down in Mexico? Do they ever have any interest to, like, come to the U.S. at all?
Yeah, they're actually, my mom's family is pretty, they're pretty, I mean, they have good jobs in Mexico. I have an uncle who works with the Mexican government.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of, like, the cultural diversity team in Tijuana.
Oh, cool.
I have another uncle who's, like, he has, like, a ballet company, so he went through some ballet school in Mexico City, and he has his own, like, little ballet company. They have pretty good jobs.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
I'm sure that's why, like, my mom was able to come legally, just because, like, you need to have certain, like, requirements or, like, land or something.
Sure. Some kind of something backing you up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't let just, you know, a low-income poor person just cross legally.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Do you have anything more to add? Anything more you want to say about yourself?
No.
All right. Cool.